Welcome to ChiroFeast, where we are serving up big helpings of wisdom in the successful practice of chiropractic, the world of entrepreneurialism, and extra servings of mentorship to navigate this wonderful experience we call life. My name is Dr. Jeff Danielson. I've built, bought, and sold many chiropractic practices and currently own 19 limited liability corporations. I love the entrepreneurial spirit, and I pay it forward through a company called Big Fish Enterprises. I coach and mentor business owners so they don't repeat the mistakes that I made in my career. Every week, we cover a topic that will help make you a better leader and a better entrepreneur. Or maybe it's just going to be a topic that helps you become a better person. You'll want to share these episodes because in life, it is always better to pay it forward. And now, let's get into today's topic.
Come and get it! ChiroFeast is online and we are ready to serve. Okay, everybody, get your bibs on. Okay, get your forks ready, get your knives ready. I've got a special treat for you today, and maybe it's just a treat for me. I'm just going to go there. Bill Estab is with me today, and I haven't been as excited about this episode as I have with another episode in quite some time. So, Bill, thank you for being with us today on ChiroFeast.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so for those of you maybe that, and I know there's a lot of young people in our profession, thank goodness for the young people, but also thank goodness for the old people like myself, okay? I graduated in 1995 from chiropractic school, and it was about that time that I was introduced to Bill Estab, our guest today. And Bill, I believe I heard you speak at a few venues, and to be honest with you, I can't remember where those venues were. I graduated from Cleveland Chiropractic College in Los Angeles, California, and so I was always at Parker. I was at different seminars on the West Coast. I don't know if you made it out to one of those, but I was introduced to. I was so focused on philosophy of chiropractic. I was so excited to be a chiropractor. As a young student and a young chiropractor, when I figured out what chiropractic was, I couldn't wait to tell the story. And then I got introduced to the products and the communication that you brought to our profession. And I was absolutely blown away by kind of the marketing savvy and the prowess that I saw your company bring to our profession. So maybe for our listeners' sake, you can give us a little bit of a background on who you are and what your interest was, how you got introduced to chiropractic so that people know where the beginning was.
Oh, sure. I love telling the story. In fact, I've told this story so many times, I don't even know if it's true. But I come from an advertising agency background. I mean, I'm not a chiropractor. I toyed with the idea of becoming a chiropractor. That's an interesting story. But I was working for ad agencies, digital recording studios, film production companies. And it was when I was working for the film production company here in Colorado Springs that two chiropractors moved in next door to our production studios, and they were chiropractors, and we'd heard stories about chiropractors, and so we ignored them, frankly, until one day we noticed they were walking down the hallway with a whole bunch of videotapes, which was very easy to tell. I mean, that's what we do all the time, right? So we struck up a conversation, come to learn that Drs. Reekman and Felicia of Renaissance International wanted to harness this newfangled device called the VCR to use it for patient education. And the idea being that you could put a consistent message on some video and a new patient would see it and they wouldn't have to keep inventing the wheel and it would be a consistent explanation. So they said, you know, if someone from your production team wants to attend one of our Renaissance seminars, that would be helpful for you to be able to put together a proposal for our patient education. So I got the short straw and flew to Spokane, Washington in January of 1981 to attend my very first three-day Renaissance seminar, which is those days was modeled after Est. I don't know if you know much about Est, but no breaks. It was just continuous wall-to-wall brain dump. And it was spectacular. I still remember some of the concepts that were shared during that seminar. Came back to Colorado Springs, said, hey, I think we should throw in with these guys and help them create their videos. So 9 months later, the Peter Graves video emerged. And that's a whole story in itself. But from then on, well, I began chiropractic care in that February, about 2 weeks later, as a research project. I called up, the office that I'd been referred to since Reekman and Felicia didn't have Colorado licenses. I called up the office and said, good morning. My name is Bill Estep. I'd like to come in and find out what phase of subluxation degeneration my spine is in. Of course, there was a long pause at the other end of the phone because this poor CA had never heard those terms before. And so, and I say that because if you take the effort of getting outside the four walls of your practice and you share the principles, people show up in your practice for different reasons than the culturally induced notion of back pain and headaches. Yeah. So anyway, I began chiropractic care. I've had 10 chiropractors since then, and basically just harnessed my expertise in media from the ad agency background that I'd had to apply it to chiropractic. And that's kind of how it all got started.
Yeah, and you couldn't have connected with two more charismatic characters than Guy Reekman and Joe Felicia. And bless his soul, Joe was an amazing man. What a character. And Guy, you know, I always refer to this, Mount Rushmore of chiropractic might have Guy Reekman's head on it. If you're looking for four people that were influential in our profession, Guy is right up there. He's been an amazing influence for our profession. So let's jump back to then you creating the marketing systems that then you are going to have chiropractors utilize. How would you describe your focus? So now realize, everybody who's listening, that there are pieces that you can take away from what Bill is going to share with us right now, but today is a different day and age. And marketing today is different than it was in, you know, the 80s, the 1980s. But maybe you can share, what was your goal back then when you created the marketing systems, the backtalk systems, all the brochures, the different things that you gave people to utilize in order to educate patients better? What was the goal and how did you want to do it?
Well, back then, my objective, which is different today, but back then, my objective was simply to bring patient communication tools into the 1980s, 1990s, because we were still stuck with brochures from the 1950s. And, you know, we had a long way to go. The tools, the artifacts that patients would take home with them from a chiropractic practice looked dated, old-fashioned, and just out of touch with reality. And so my first goal was just simply introduce contemporary graphics and short, brief, to-the-point text, and just to really bring things to a focus. And so that the handouts and the tools and the posters and the charts had a feel that was contemporary and with it, and try not to make those things work against us in the eyes of the consumer.
Yeah. And, you know, back at that time, so, and maybe forevermore, I'm a nerd. And so I appreciated and loved kind of the technical aspect of a lot of your literature and the posters, because you talked about the vertebral subluxation complex and the subluxation degeneration. That resonated with me, but it was done in a way graphically that was pleasing. And it was easy, you know, for me as a brand new chiropractor in 1995, being introduced to what you guys had developed, I could educate people better utilizing the tools that you had, because it was nice to look at and you could follow it pretty well. But the content was pretty technical. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you know, I think that the direction that your newer company now, Patient Media, has gone has kind of gone opposite. It's much more simplistic. So what would you say was good about that and where you've gone more recently?
Well, back in those days when Joe Felicia kind of brought to the profession the vertebral subluxation complex, I think there was a vibe in the profession that we wanted to be legitimate, that chiropractic was scientific, that its underpinnings were based upon solid physiology, and that the vertebral subluxation complex was a strategy to bring that to life. And frankly, when I left BackTalk and started Patient Media, I had the opportunity, because I had nothing on the warehouse shelves. I had nothing. I was starting from square one. And I said, well, would I do the vertebral subluxation complex today as we go into the new millennium? And I reached the conclusion that patients were not that interested in learning about myopathology, that maybe resonated with chiropractors and clinicians, but and maybe allowed you to have an intelligent conversation with a medical professional, but it was not really the way to connect with the patient. So I went back to vertebral subluxation. And I think that's probably a big enough new concept for most people these days to embrace. And just thought that you know, patients shouldn't have to learn a new language to receive chiropractic care. So I just simplified it.
Yeah. Well, and I think in a lot of your newest stuff, you know, it speaks for itself without having to use those big words. Now, I'm kind of old school. I like using the word vertebral subluxation because it's our term. It's That's a right. chiropractic term. We own it. Why not use it?
Well, you touched on a very important concept because, you know, if you wanted to destroy a profession, whether it be chiropractic or dentistry or whatever, the first thing you start doing is you start messing with the language. The vernacular. You take that away, you neutralize it. You know, and there are people in this profession who have an allergic reaction to the word, you know, vertebral subluxation. And I understand the concern, but I think that it's the first step towards losing the profession when you don't have your own unique vernacular, you know. Subluxation means something different to medical doctors. Well, of course it does. And the word enamel means something different to a dentist and a painter, okay? Words have different meanings based upon the context. So, you know, I think that I would hold up language as being one of the more important aspects of maintaining the integrity of a profession.
You know, it's interesting, Bill. I train chiropractors in my clinic. So I've got four associate chiropractors in my main clinic in Burnsville, Minnesota. And I just 15 minutes ago left them and spent about 15, 20 minutes training them. But I knew I needed to be on with you shortly. So I left them a little bit early. But one of the things that we talked about was exactly what we're talking about right now, which is your lexicon. It's the words that you say. And one of my doctors, we were talking about being charismatic. And the fact is, you know, when you're charismatic, it doesn't mean that you're jumping around the office with dance hands, you know, jazz hands all the time. It's not about that. And we discussed for about 15, 20 minutes, we discussed how can you be more charismatic like you? And that means being more impactful and being a leader worth following because you are leading your patients. And one of my docs, he just graduated 3 weeks ago, he said, well, once in a while, I'll say to them, because I'm having fun conversation, I'll say, now I'm going to doctor you for a minute. And I said, well, let's, you know, after he said that, I said, well, do you want to be doctored? And he said, well, when you put it that way, I don't want to be doctored. I said, well, how about if you say it this way? All right, Bob, I'm going to be your doctor for a second. And I'm going to give you my best recommendation. And my best recommendation based on what you just told me and what I just felt when I put my hand on your back is this. And saying it that way, I think is a little bit better than saying, I'm going to doctor you now. And then I told the story. I said, and which one of you, and I looked at my entire group, and I've got three interns and four doctors all staring at me. I said, which one of you wants to be manipulated? And everybody was quiet. I said, we will never, ever use that term in my office, because I don't want to manipulate anybody. And I don't want to be manipulated by anyone. We're going to do adjustments. That's what we do. And that lexicon, man, you hit on that just exactly. And we don't talk about that enough. And let me tell you this one other story too. And I'm about 10 miles away from Northwestern Health Sciences. So I had one of my interns, and they do all these Facebook like things. And one of them said there was a question in our Facebook group with hundreds of chiropractors chiropractic students. And the question was, how many of you are going to use the term vertebral subluxation in your practice someday? And this was students across the whole school. 79% of them said that they would not use the word vertebral subluxation.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And I just about threw up in my mouth. I'm like, well, what the heck word do you want to use? You know? And I just feel like we are losing a little bit of our identity when we go away from the nuts and bolts and the guts of who we are and what we do.
Well, this is being bred into the profession at the school level. So this is going to get worse before it ever gets better, in my opinion.
What are you seeing? Because I know, Bill, you've got a great relationship with a lot of the schools, and there's a lot of wonderful people, you know, in the schools. But what are you seeing just in general when you visit schools? And so when you say that it's kind of being inbred improperly, where are we missing the boat?
Well, I think it's based upon the deception that chiropractic would be more successful, prevalent, and accepted if it was more like medicine. Mm-hmm. And that is a tragic miscalculation, in my opinion. I think the recent issues with COVID, I think what many, 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 many people in our culture saw was an overreaching by the medical profession. And I think they kind of stepped on themselves in a bit. And I think what many chiropractors forget is that because of our culture, most people consult a medical practitioner first. Now, I wish that weren't true, but that's just the way things are. By the time a patient shows up in a chiropractic practice, they've tried medicine, don't want medicine, want something different than medicine, please be different than medicine. Yes. And I think that there's huge opportunity and actually an obligation, frankly, to be truly different. And, that doesn't convince people who think that their success is based upon taking reimbursement and all the rest of it. But the problem is even deeper than that, in the fact that because the philosophy is pretty much a token, you know, maybe a quarter's worth of it, if at all, many, many chiropractors that I meet who are just starting out are confused. They don't know whether to refer out. They don't know whether they should adjust. They've been made fearful that they might cause someone a stroke. I mean, they're just walking in fear land. And the boldness of what you'd see someone who, you know, cut their teeth in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, that's in the previous century, that just doesn't exist anymore. And they're showing up with a style of practice which their patients would never come to a jail to bail them out like they did a previous generation, right?
Yes, yes.
But it's because there is a lack of a North Star. And so they're kind of in one foot in one land and one foot in another land. And it's pretty confusing. And no wonder there's a reticence and there's no centering. There's no North Star. And that's tragic. But it can be corrected, but many sadly have to fail with that model before they're available for a deeper meaning of the significance and impact of what they're actually doing.
Yeah, I think unfortunately there's a lot of young folks that are thinking that they need to be kind of a glamorized version of a physical therapist versus a solid principled chiropractor that ends up doing some physiotherapy as well, movement, you know, whatever you want to add to it. But that foundation of who we are and where we came from and what really makes the difference, to be honest. I mean, we don't need more physical therapists. We need more chiropractors. And that's been frustrating to me. Because I've seen a lot of that. I've, you know, lost opportunities with young doctors that wanted to come and work with me, but found out that we're practicing chiropractic, you know, and went a different direction. Let's go backwards a little bit. Our conversation kind of started with marketing. And, you know, some of the tools that you created, over the decades that you've been involved in chiropractic, what has frustrated you about chiropractors that maybe haven't used your tools in the right way? And then some examples of people that really did use the tools in the right way and benefited from them. Is there a right and a wrong?
Well, right and wrong might not be the appropriate labels. Maybe it would be effective and less effective. But, part of the challenge is a classic small business mistake. And that is that when things get tight, we cut back on marketing.
Yeah.
And chiropractors do this, but all small businesses tend to do this. And that's why they're small, frankly. So that's probably the least effective way of doing it. It goes back to the idea that many chiropractors will promote their practice when they need new patients. And the problem with that, of course, is that there is their heart is revealed in their desperateness because they need new patients. And, you know, when you take a look at chiropractors who don't need new patients because they seem to be showing up without effort, their heart is not the same as someone who needs new patients. So I think the notion is that a more successful use of patient education, packaging your report of findings and all the rest is about something, it is a system in which you just do day in and day out so you don't have this roller coaster up and down practice. And that probably sums up a lot of patient education. I love the thought experiment, you know, that, and you've heard this, I'm sure, that here's the thought experiment. You either get to adjust a patient once or you get to explain to them the chiropractic story. Which do you choose? And maybe because I'm not a chiropractor, I kind of lean towards telling the story. But the chiropractors I know who are practicing non-therapeutic chiropractic and they're sharing the principles of chiropractic are having more fun. The patients are hanging around longer. It's just a lower stress practice. And they don't have this voracious appetite for new patients.
Yeah. Well, and when you mentioned the system, having a system that includes what piece of paper are you showing people to walk them through the process of correcting their spine?
Hmm.
That piece of paper should be consistent and it should look nice.
Hmm.
You know, it's a part of why people will get to yes. And your whole goal as a chiropractor is to get patients to make a good decision for their healthcare. You need to get them to a yes, I want that. I want to get started. And so how can we do that? We do that a variety of different ways, you know, which starts from having your office clean and, you know, and having, you know, a nice shirt on, you know, I mean, there's so many pieces of it, but if you show them a schlocky piece of paper with scribbles on it, it's just not as impressive as having the right forms, having the right posters on the wall, having the right material that you can hand them to share with another individual. All those things matter. You know, all those things matter. And when they're a part of a process and a system, then it's easy and there's no stress. And like you said, that it makes you come off as just organized and well put together as a chiropractor.
Yeah, because success does not flow into chaos. And, you know, probably the worst thing would be not that it's not used properly, but to turn the whole interchange with a patient into a verbal exchange. I mean, words are mere pennies in the, you know, currency of communication, and they're easily forgotten and they can't reproduce them. The whole idea, the strategy that I've tried to communicate more recently is the brochures in your brochure rack. If you're waiting for patients to self-serve, you've got a long wait ahead of you, because those brochures are not for your patients. They're for the people your patients know. So think of patients as a media, as a channel, if you will, to expand the reach of the practice. And, having those tools that are an attractive reflection of the profession is a way of enhancing the referral process by making your patients better ambassadors for your practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And, you know, business cards, they still do exist, right? You know, and the same thing, if you've got a stack of business cards, people aren't just walking in your door and grabbing a bunch of them. You actually have to take a few of them and put them in the hand of your patient and say, give these to a few people that you care about, you know? We're getting close to the end of the time on this episode, and I'm so grateful and thankful that I have you for another episode. But I want to touch on a little bit more with patient media. So for the viewers here that maybe don't know that company, how would you describe the company, and what are some of the products that you do carry, and how are they used by chiropractors?
Patient media is a company designed to provide tools that a chiropractor can use to leverage their time and talent in communicating chiropractic principles to a patient. I mean, that in 10 words or less. Probably the greatest number of tools we have is for the report of findings. It's one of the more important communication events with a new patient. So we have tools to help record and document for a patient so they can take it home to enhance case acceptance, and to package that in a nice folder that looks nice and will impress a spouse who maybe won't even be there for the report of findings these days. So there's this whole issue about the report of findings and the wall charts that support that. The other side of the business is more about the brochures. And, you know, we've got a full line of brochures that feature the most popular symptoms for which a patient might consult a chiropractic practice. And, you know, I was accosted by a very famous philosophical leader in our profession, and he was just giving me a rash about the fact that I had brochures labeled sciatica or whiplash or whatever. And this individual was not particularly marketing savvy, so he caught on to the idea that I was somehow promulgating, you know, a symptomatic look at chiropractic. But the fact of the matter is, most patients come in because they have an ache or pain they think a chiropractor could help them with. Okay, great. Once they're in the practice, you have the opportunity to expand their vision beyond the notion they brought in with them through the front door. And I think that's a big task. And to do it totally verbally while you're doing a leg length check and a table talk where you're, you know, non-consensual conversation and you're ear raping the patient, you want to be real careful about thinking that that's being effective. Rarely, because you can't see the patient's eyes roll because their head's wedged in some headrest paper. So, part of it is walking the line between what a patient needs to know and what a patient wants to know.
Yes. Yeah.
And that varies from patient to patient. It's just important that if you get a live one with something, you know, sparkling in their eyes, that you have the tools to support cultivating and nurturing that patient to blossom into someone who truly gets chiropractic.
Yeah. I coach chiropractors, Bill, and one of the things that most chiropractors want is they want their practice to grow. And the growth of the practice really depends on new patients coming in the door and then having the old patients or the ones that you're taking care of stay for a longer period of time. There's really no other way to do it. Those are the two ways. And I can hear people thinking as you were talking and getting people to commit to care and to the care plan and having things, you know, nicely presented for the spouse to look at, et cetera. That all falls in line with somebody who starts care sticking with you for a while. Why would they stick with you? Because you're professional, because you make sense. You're a good communicator. You educate. You don't, you know, like you said, ear rape them and just, you know, dump. You can't dump everything on people all at once, but it needs to trickle and it needs to be consistent over time. And all of those things, when they're done consistently, the education process, and when you hand people cards and you, I mean, it's building your army. And this is a perfect time for a plug here, Bill. So we've got you coming to speak at ChiroLife in Minneapolis in December. Not always the place that people want to go in December, but we're going to be hot and on fire for chiropractic. And ChiroLife is all about the things that we can do to improve the lives of those around us, to have people live the life that we chiropractors know is possible. And the theme for this one is build your army, which is perfect for you, Bill. And you're gonna love bringing a message that's gonna be about building the army of people that will promote your business, because you can't do it all yourself. You know, there's only so many spinal screenings you can do personally. You have to have an army around you, not only of your team, your staff, your team members, but of your patients. Your patients need to be your army. So how do we equip them? And I think you've hit on it perfectly for people to be able to do that. Before we finish here, I just want to touch on last thing here, and that is, what is your vision for the future of chiropractic gaining market share? Obviously, back when you started things in the 80s, it was about educating people so they understood that chiropractors, hey, this is a real thing, and this is something that you should be considering for an alternative to, you know, getting a needle in your back or whatever. How do you think that we can gain more market share?
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why I took patient media to the internet, you know, back in 2006 with Perfect Patients. You know, there's a famous quote attributed to a bank robber by the name of Willie Sutton, who robbed banks about 100 years ago. He was a sharp dresser and he was finally caught. And they asked him, well, why do you rob banks? I mean, he'd robbed lots of banks. He says, that's where the money is. And it's the same thing as with the internet, is that's where the patients are. And they're getting, they have many, many choices of medical-oriented sites. And the powers that be have limited some of the exposure of the alternative, non-mainstream, natural-based, you know, respectful sites. And so I think that the challenge we face is, how do we get a whole bunch of internet digital warriors out there? And I think that starts with your website.
Well, we're gonna leave our audience with that little teaser. How do we maximize what we're doing, our efforts, our money, our time, our energy, all of that? How do we maximize that through the internet, through the web, through tech, using technology? I can't wait to pick your brain about this because this is going to be our next episode. So, for those of you listening to this episode one here with Bill Esteb, tune in for the next episode where we're gonna tackle that exact topic. All right, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Bill. You know, I have a huge respect for you. I always have since I learned about you in like 1993, and about in the middle of my chiropractic schooling is when I first learned about you. Thank you for what you have done for our profession and continue to do. I'm happy to continue to promote the things that you touch, because they are things that touch people in our communities. And I appreciate that very much. I'm thankful that that you're not a chiropractor, that you don't think like us, but that you think better and stronger in the ways of education and marketing, so that we don't have to, because to be honest, we're not that good at it. So thank you for doing that. And with that, stay hungry, my friends. Stay hungry. And as always, pay it forward.
Hey, everybody, Dr. Jeff here. You have now heard from one of my mentors, one of my heroes in chiropractic, one of the people that has helped shape my mind, my philosophy, how I communicate, how I market. You have now heard from him. And what's awesome is that you have the ability to not only grab onto some of his free resources, but also to see him live in person and really get down to the nitty-gritty and hear him speak in person at ChiroLife in December of 2023. So that's not that far away, you guys. You got to plan ahead. So in Bloomington, Minnesota, which is basically Minneapolis, right by the airport, right by the Minneapolis airport, at the Embassy Suites airport location, we're going to have Bill Estab live on the stage. Very likely both Friday and Saturday. So Friday night, he'll be delivering a message, and then Saturday he'll be delivering another message. You are not going to want to miss it. And some of the other speakers that we have lined up as well are going to be absolutely fantastic. It's called Build Your Army. So if you are interested in growing your practice and revitalizing your practice, join us by going to ChiroLifeConference.com. That's ChiroLifeConference.com. Get your tickets. Just make the commitment, but don't leave your staff at home. This is an event. ChiroLife is an event that is actually more about your team than it is about you. But you will definitely be blessed personally, but you will also be blessed because your team will be more on fire for chiropractic and for your practice to have a bigger and greater impact on your community. So go to that website, register for ChiroLife Conference, see Bill, shake his hand, meet him in person, and learn what I have learned over 30 years ago about how important this person is to our profession. You won't want to miss it. And also grab onto as many of his free resources as possible. Those connections are going to be in the show notes, so please access those as well.